is the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Ops Pizza, Cunningham Jewelers, and by Mr. Shuck Seafood. And now, here's your host, Michael Spears.
Welcome to the final episode of the 2023 season of the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, by Ops Pizza, Cunningham Jewelers, and by Mr. Shuck Seafood. Now joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Jeff Herron. Coach, I'm so happy to be sitting here with you this morning to talk about, you know, the semifinal game against Walton, and then just kind of a reflect on the entire season a little bit. It's been a magical time, I think, for all of us. Last Friday's game against the Raiders in Walton up in Raider Valley, round four of the semifinals of the state playoffs. Tell us, if you would, you know, kind of what your observations from that game were.
Well, you know, I guess you know, it was a pretty good game. We could have probably made it a little bit better, but, you know, Walton had a good football team, and, you know, anytime you play in the state semifinals, it's pretty special. And, you know, felt like our kids, we played about as well as we could, I think, and got beat by a good football team.
There's no doubt about that. So, you know, despite that loss, you know, what positives can be drawn from the team's performance in that contest?
Well, I think, you know, this team grew up a lot during the playoff run. They matured a lot. They became closer. They bonded. And they started believing that they could play with anybody at any time. And so I think those are all positives. I mean, specifically on Friday night, you know, we had not played well in the first half. We let the quarterback get loose, scrambling, and beat us deep twice on throws after he scrambled, and we lost receivers. You know, so we were down 21 to nothing. But, you know, challenged them at halftime, and, you know, I felt like we just hadn't had a lot of energy and emotion in the first half, and they came out in the second half and got it going like the Camden team we had seen the last 4 or 5 weeks, and, you know, we wound up getting it to 21-17 and felt like we had turned the tide. And then, you know, their quarterback, who's a great player, and the tight end, who's a great player, they had 3 or 4 special plays, and they had a long drive and scored. And, you know, when we went down by 11, you know, we had one more opportunity I felt good about. We were driving the ball and, you know, missed a pattern on one of them.
Right.
And then we got maybe a pass interference call that wasn't called on one, and then called a fake punt. And, you know, we hadn't done it all year long. We'd worked it all year long, but, you know, one guy didn't hear the call. And unfortunately, his man made the tackle, you know. So when that happened, you know, that was right at the end of the third quarter. And it just kind of felt like at that point our kids had just – they'd given all they had.
And, yes, sir.
You know, so it didn't wind up the way we wanted, but I'm still proud of their effort.
No doubt. This is the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. You know, just talking about the fake punt, what was the thought process that goes into that? Is it because of the moment, the positioning on the field, trying to, you know, keep the momentum?
Well, it's a little bit of everything that you mentioned there. You know, we were in a favorable position on the field. We were down 11, and we felt like it was there. I had, you know, actually looked at it 2 times earlier and felt like by their alignment we could pick it up. And you know,
I was a huge fan of that call.
Well, we work
loved it.
You know, we work it all year, and we haven't run it yet in a game, and it just felt like, you know, it was going to give us a chance, and we didn't want them to get the ball back. And
sure.
You know, so it felt like if we could steal a possession there and keep the momentum going, that we still had a chance. So again, it sounded good, and I thought it would be a good play, but you know, when you're doing something like that, you don't have an opportunity to huddle, you know. And so one of our guys just didn't get the call.
Oh, goodness.
You know, unfortunately, his man was in a position to make the tackle, and he did. But, you know, had we picked it up, you know, we still had to go down and score and keep playing. So it wasn't – that one play did not cost us by any stretch.
No doubt.
You know, yeah, if we could have converted there and scored again, maybe we could put a little pressure on them.
So you talked a little bit about their quarterback, you know, up there at Walton. I think he's a Wake Forest commit. Jeremy Heklinski is his name. You think he was the best quarterback y'all faced all season?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He might be the best one I've ever faced. You know, he can make throws from every angle.
Unbelievable.
He's able to scramble, and he keeps his eyes up, and he finds people. So, you know, he had had a magical year. I mean, going into it, he had 42 touchdowns and one interception. Well, the good news was we intercepted him twice. You know, we doubled his season-long sure. output. Unfortunately, he still had 6 touchdown passes. And, you know, we had gone into the game, you know, our plan was to try to limit his completions to the tight end, number 9. And we weren't able to do it. Number 9 was really special too.
Sure.
And those two have some kind of a, you know, telepathic relationship, I guess, because they, you know, when they need a play, that's who they go to. And they were on target, and really, you know, wasn't much we could do. Now, you know, in the first half, as I said, you know, we made mistakes when he started scrambling. We didn't lock on to our guys and gave him 2 touchdowns. But some of the catches he had, he really earned. And, you know, it's a good combination, and they were tough to handle.
No doubt. So especially that very first one they got in the first quarter was a 4th down play. And I think they had gotten inside the 5, gotten a penalty, and pushed back. And that ball, it seemed like our guy was in perfect space. But those receivers are as good as that quarterback is, you know, the tight end and all that stuff, just the way they were just bringing them in. It was really an incredible team to see that work out. But, you know, you talked about your Wildcats being able to double his number of interceptions on the season in a single game. You know, Mason had one. Marley had the pick 6 that really kind of energized the Camden crowd. Like, that yes. kind of set us all on fire. But it was great. And, you know, this defense, like we've talked about, has really started to crescendo at the right time. You know, how proud are you of these guys and the defense, what they were able to accomplish this year?
Well, you know, Mike, I've said it every week. Mm-hmm. You know, we were not a very good defense when we started the game by any stretch, or started the year. But our kids just kept being coached. They kept being coachable. Our coaching mm-hmm. staff did a great job. And, you know, we tweaked some people and, you know, found different combinations. And just we were trying everything, really, to try to get it going. But I think one of the things we did, we kind of simplified it and just said, you know, we're going to line up and we're going to play hard and we're going to run to the ball. And, you know, if somebody can beat us and us doing that, then so be it. But that helped us, I think, a little bit. And we certainly improved defensively as the year went on. And, you know, offensively felt like we had a really good year. You know, we moved the ball on everybody. And, you know, certainly once our defense got going, we had good special teams and we turned into a pretty formidable opponent.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. More to come on the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Bo Sasser with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, calling a timeout for an important message. When it comes to sports injuries, our highly trained experts have years of experience treating all kinds of sports-related injuries. Plus, we have access to all the resources at Southeast Georgia Health System. So, if you suffer an injury, on the field or off, let us get you back to your game.
Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS. That's 1-855-275-7447 or visit sghs.org.
Here at Cunningham Jewelers, we are like you and we are Friday Night Light fans. Come find that special gift for that special person no matter your budget. At Cunningham Jewelers, we don't settle for the field goal. We help you punch it in for the touchdown. So come on down to Cunningham Jewelers and let our friendly staff help you go for 2. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Welcome back in to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery and by Ops Pizza. The Wildcats fans always seem to play a role in the season. You know, people love their Wildcats around here. I had the opportunity to travel to all of the road games, and I continue to be kind of struck by how many Wildcat fans there were, you know, everywhere we went. You know, what is that dependable support, you know, mean to the team, to the kids, you know, and having such a faithful fan base all season long?
Well, as the saying goes, it's priceless. You know, we really did. I think we had more people at all 4 playoff games than the home teams.
I would agree.
And, you know, Walton had I known their visitor bleachers, and I should have known because I used to coach there one year, but, you know, had I remembered that, we might have could have challenged it and forced them to move the game because their visiting side was so small. The state used to let you do that. I think they've taken it away. But, you know, again, it wasn't good for our fans because they were packed in there like sardines, you know. but they were there, and they were loud. And, you know, our band and our cheerleaders and, you know, it wasn't just us making those trips. You know, everybody's talking about how many miles we traveled, but you had to travel. You know, our band had to travel. Our cheerleaders had to travel. Our fans had to travel. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I am extremely thankful to all those people that I mentioned that, you know, made those trips. And, you know, it certainly helped our team. There's no question. Just they fed off of that energy that everybody in the stands had. And, you know, I think everybody enjoyed it. We wish we were still getting to do it another time, but I think everybody had a good time.
And yes, they did.
So it was good to see that again.
You talked a little bit about this as well. 6 road games to close out the season, you know, through the final 2 regular season games of the playoffs. Going all the way back to the contest against, you know, Valdosta, that was where that road stint started. This is kind of crazy to think about this. The last home game that your team played in the, you know, the friendly confines of Chris Gilman Stadium was all the way back on October 13th. That Colquitt County game was the last game we played at home. That feels like a lifetime ago. It definitely feels like the team is different from then. Did all that time on the road begin to wear on the kids?
You know, I think it did. I don't want to make excuses.
Of course, yes, sir.
You know, because there were a lot of positives. I think we got better by being on the road. I really do. But, you know, I was worried about it from the start that, you know, figured out, you know, we were a 3 seed and, you know, the bracket the first round didn't go well enough that we knew we might have a home game. Turned out we wouldn't have had one even if we had been a 1 seed because, you know, after the first 2 because of the coin flips. But I felt like the trips really helped our kids to bond and mature and, but I knew when we knew we were going to have to go on the road every week that at some point in time, you know, it might catch up to us. And I think it did. Our players and our coaches, you know, my wife, I mentioned this yesterday to somebody, but, you know, my wife told me after the game where, you know, we're talking and she said, she goes, "You guys just didn't seem like yourselves in the first half." She said, "Just didn't seem like they were as excited and, you know, bouncing around like they had been the previous, you know, 3 weeks." And I think it just, you know, it takes an emotional toll on you, you know, and I've always made the comment every year that I've been involved with a state championship team, there's some point in the playoffs that you don't play your best game, and you have to survive that. You have to be good enough to overcome that, and you got to just kind of be lucky in some cases. I mean, I can think back to every year, you know, and go back to 2009, and, you know, we had played great. The first 2 rounds at home, then we went to North Gwinnett, played great in the 3rd round, beat a number 1 ranked team, I guess. And we came back home for the semis and played not well at all against Colquitt. But we survived it. You know, sure. We wound up winning like 19-10, where we should have beaten them a lot worse probably, but we survived. Next week, we go back for the state championship game and we play great again. You know, so I think this... The Walton game was our not so good one. We were coming off of, you know, 3 straight road trips, a huge 4-5 straight road trips, a huge emotional win against Mill Creek.
Yes, sir.
And I felt like that, you know, our energy and stuff was just not as good as it had been. And it's not because they didn't want it to be, you know, and certainly, and that was what we talked about at halftime, and that was what I was so proud of, that they tried. You know, in the second half, they were going to try. They were going to try to get back into it, give everything they had, and they did.
Absolutely.
But we just, again, you know, once we got to that point, the tank was empty. And, unfortunate we had to go that many times, but we created that. You know, we created that mess. And, you know, we could have won over at Valdosta, and we wouldn't have had to have done that, you know. So, but it was fun. I will say this. It's one of the most enjoyable times of my coaching career. Is just, you know, last night, I know we're doing this on Friday, you know, last night, first night I slept in my bed in 5 weeks, you know, on a Thursday
oh,
night.
Oh, goodness,
you know?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But I had fun doing it, and our kids did, and I think our community did. And, You know, so we'd like to still be doing it one more time, but I'm not disappointed with what they did at all.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So, Coach, reflecting on the season as a whole, what are your thoughts on the team's growth? You know, you talked a little bit about them, you know, growing together, but do you really feel that there was a – it seems to me that there was an enormous growth in what we started with and what we ended with.
I would agree, Mike. You know, you have said this before on the air that, you know, 3 years ago I think we hoped we'd win and we wound up losing some games we probably shouldn't have. You know, last year I think we started believing we could win. But this year we got to the point where mm-hmm. we knew we could win. And it was fun to watch that happen. You know, it's a credit to this year's group of players, especially our seniors. You know, they are the ones that had to do it. I mean, you know, I could say it, coach before me or coach after me, whatever. You know, that we can all say it. But until the team becomes player-led, until the players start actually buying into that and holding each other accountable mm-hmm. and expecting each other to do right things, until that happens, you're not going to be successful. And I was really pleased that I think this senior group finally did it. Now, it wasn't easy. And, you know, we had to let some guys go along the way, things like sure. that. But I think the group that finished the year, they will always hold a special place in my heart because they helped get us back to where we needed to be.
Can you highlight maybe some of the standout moments or games or positions that you think really were pivotal in the team's success this year?
Well, there's a whole bunch. I don't know if we have that long, but you know, I think one of the biggest ones was Columbia.
Yes, sir.
You know, go way back, first game. I mean, you know, they have a phenomenal player that's going to Arkansas, I think, still. And mm-hmm. he almost beat Cook County in the semis or the third round by himself, you know. And he had played really well against us, and we found ourselves behind at halftime. But last year when we were behind at halftime, we panicked. This year it was kind of like, yeah, we're okay. We got this, coach. And we went out and came back and won that game. I thought that was a turning point for us. You know, we were down to Richmond Hill. They had played great. You know, we had a chance kind of to put them away early and fumbled a punt and let them in the game. And so it became a nail biter. And I think, you know, we were down maybe 13 points with 7 or 8 minutes to go in the game, something like that.
Sure. To a team that really seems to be on the come up, too. Oh, yeah. Richmond Hill seems to be ascending.
They have a good team.
Yes, sir.
No mistake. But we came back and won that game. And then I think, you know, two other turning points, the Valdosta game. You know, we knew we didn't play well. You know, we were all frustrated, and we came in on Sunday, and we talked about what we had to do to fix it. And they really did. You know, the Lounge game, we were behind. We hadn't played great. But, you know, I think the play right before halftime at Lounge, you know, we were down 13 points, I guess. And, you know, if we kick a field goal, we're still down 10. They kind of have momentum from stopping us on the goal line. So we went forward and made it and, you know, put us down, I guess, 6. And then we were able to take control of the game in the second half. But I think all those were really important
sure.
turning points for us during the regular season. You know, go back to Newton, and we're down 15, and heck, we hadn't even got everybody off the bus hardly, and we're behind by 15, and, you know, that comeback and just the domination of that game after that point. Then we go to McEachern, and, you know, we're just in control from the start, and we go to Mill Creek, and we're just kind of in control from the start. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of, you know, you go back and you think about the Columbia game, and, you know, here we are playing a small school, supposed to kill them, all this. You know, in the maturation of our kids, the just watching them grow and develop and start believing during from, you know, that first game to the end, again, it was a special time and a special thing to watch.
All right. We'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Looking for the perfect place to watch the big game? Then check out Ops off of Exit 3 on I-95. Jumbo big screen HD TVs, 300-inch projector, and the most IPAs in Southeast Georgia. Not to mention the top craft beer selection anywhere in the Camden area. An extensive menu that includes pizza to burgers to wings. 1378 Boone Avenue in Kingsland. Just look for the big Ops star sign or call ahead 912-576-6880. Ops, your one and only true sports bar stop.
The best low country boil in southeast Georgia? Mr. Shuck's Seafood. Also a dining room, full bar, and a full seafood market available. Fresh shrimp and live crabs. They were just swimming yesterday. Mr. Shuck's Seafood, 107 Altama in Brunswick, right beside Van Vape. Takeout available, 912-265-5959. Be sure to find us on Facebook. 13 years of serving folks just like you, and we're proud to say, let's go Wildcats.
Welcome back into the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. This segment is brought to you by Cunningham Jewelers and by Mr. Shuck Seafood. Coach, in terms of player development and growth, which individuals or positions do you think showed significant improvement over the course of the season? I don't like to single people out, but maybe positions or areas.
Well, I think our secondary got better, certainly as the season wore on. I think our linebacker play from middle of the year to the end just was totally different. And Cooper and Antonio and Xavier, they really started playing well. Our dog position, Wayne Austell did not start there, but wound up playing a lot, and wound up being the guy. And he had a great year and was our second leading tackler and, broke his arm in the first quarter up there the other night, which hurt us. But defensively, our defensive line was kind of good all year long. Malachi Mowen came in and won a position and kind of solidified the other side away from DeNigel and Higginbotham. But, defensively, they all improved. I mean, our safety position, our corner positions, every area of defense certainly improved greatly as the year wore on. And, I think Parks, a quarterback offensively, watching his growth during the year was really good. And, you forget he's a sophomore, he didn't have his best night probably at Milker or at Walton, but we wouldn't have been there without him.
Of course.
And, again, when Jeremy Hetglinski was a sophomore, they got beat in the state semifinals. So, that's a part of the process. You got a young quarterback, he's going to get better, and Park certainly did, and we hope that's going to continue. I feel like it will. Our offensive line, from the beginning of the year to the end, is amazing the progress that they've made. And, our receivers, we have a very, very talented, group of kids in that room, starting with Elias, who plays tight end and receiver.
Of course.
Sean Green, who's a freshman, who's, really, really good. But Cameron Rush, James Roberson, Jonathan Stamos, any of those kids could go in and play, and we were fine. And, so I watched them improve greatly from spring to the end of the year. And, and I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about our kickers and our kicking situation. But, I mean, literally, we had four guys on our team that could have started for most of the people we played as kickers, and we had two, maybe three punters that were, the same thing. So that was a lot of fun too, because they did a great job. Coach Reeling does a good job with them, and I thought they really improved this year too.
What were some of the biggest obstacles you faced maybe as a coaching staff?
Well, we had some new coaches this year. And, anytime you have change in your coaching staff, it takes a little time to gel and get everybody on the same page. But I felt like they did a really good job. And, again, as the year wore on, our coaching decisions and our planning and stuff got better and better and better. And, how we practiced, we tweaked that a bunch, because every team's a little bit different. So I think the growth there and learning what we needed to do in practice, what we needed to fix, what we needed to work on, and them being able to be around each other and kind of, sense what everybody wanted to do and stuff. A great group of men, and they did a really good job. And, again, our players, I'm thankful because they improved during the year. They were coachable and improved. But if you don't have the assistant coaches that can lead them and, show them stuff. And, our guys aren't just good coaches. They care about these kids. And that's fun to watch those relationships that they have with them.
Yes, sir. This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, you mentioned this just a few minutes ago. Historically, we've done the shows on Tuesdays during the season, but I think you were away on Tuesday working on region selections and things like that. And I'd just like to read those names real quick for the show here. So you had a really great showing for Camden County. You did senior defensive back wide receiver Marley Riddle was selected as one of the co-athletes of the year. Parks Riendo was first-team offense. Jaden Daly, first-team offense. Elias Williams, Zach Owens on the offensive line. Caden Thompson on the offensive line. And then Gabe Kaysen rounds out our first-team offense selection as a place kicker. First-team defense, Denigel Cooper, Dylan Higginbotham, Cooper Thornhill, of course, Wayne Austell, Mason Robinson, who really seemed to come on in the defensive back towards the end of the season from our perspective, and then Jamarik Daly. Your second team offense, Jordan Hardy, running back tight end Josh Locklear, who seemed to be a pretty steady force out there most of the year. Offensive line, Zach Taylor, wide receiver Jonathan Stamos. And then your second team defense, Malachi Mowen, Antonio Laws, and Josh Sergeant. And you had a couple of honorable mentions that were on their offensive line. Caden Whitfield, who played that center role, pretty much the whole year. Anthony Green. And then wide receiver Sean Green, as you said, is a freshman, right?
Yeah, sure.
So, but it's exciting to see what's coming on with that. And then on the defensive line, Kanan Graham, defensive back DC, David Coleman, and then punter Bryson Osgood. So what a really cool showing it was of kids from this team out there in that list. Do you think they got that right?
Well, the region selection, and how it's done, it's a bit unusual, I guess. And as the region coaches meet, and we nominate kids, and then the other coaches vote on them. And sometimes it works out real well for us. Sometimes it doesn't. But I was pleased. I think everybody on our team that played significant minutes, we nominated them, and some of them got more votes than others from people in our region. It's just how it works. But, I'm not into the individual accolade stuff. I always hate that part of it. Mm-hmm. But again, when our kids get recognition by the other people in our region, it does make me feel good. And, I'm happy for them. Something maybe they'll remember, who knows. But football's a team game, and
the ultimate.
A running back doesn't make first team without a good offensive line, or the running backs complement the offensive line. A secondary guy's not going to make it unless they're getting pressure from the defensive line and all that stuff. But again, anytime our kids can get recognition, I'm happy for them.
Yes, sir. Coach, last question. What are kind of your goals or aspirations for the team, going forward, maybe considering into next season with all the progress that was made this year? How do you build upon kind of the success of this year and parlay that into how it goes beginning next year?
Every group's different. Mm-hmm. Every team's different. But I do hope that our upcoming seniors, I hope they can learn from this year. I told them when we got in there Monday morning after we got back to school, and a quote, actually, I think Coach Chastain had sent it out, but it just hit me that morning, like God speaking to me, like, this is what you need to tell them, But it said, in terms of that game, we can either be miserable or we can be motivated. And, I thought back to 2002. We had a great run. It was my third year here then, the first time. And we had a great run, beat Stevenson on the road in the third round, and then got beat by Brookwood in mm-hmm. the state semifinals. And, it was a tough loss, one we felt like we had won, but we didn't. And that loss, I think, spurred us the next year to becoming the team we were in 2003, which, was a very dominant football
Absolutely.
Team. And won 15 games. And, I'm hoping that our kids, our players, our coaches, our family, and our community, everybody involved, I hope that, we don't let this misery from the losing in the semifinals last, and we use it as motivation for next year.
Right. Coach, I want to thank you for spending a little bit of time with me this season, my rookie season. You know, I really appreciate how gracious you've been. I look forward to seeing y'all soon. Can't wait for spring ball and the start of next season. Thanks for joining us on the wrap-up and final 2023 episode of the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. My name is Mike Spears, signing off.